if Gabbert ends up getting the job, you know, and everything else fails, all the other options, what the hell does that say about Kyle Trask? And I didn't even have to call Sapp an asshole. I got Keyshawn to do it.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition for 61-plus years and home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Here is General Manager Sean Sullivan, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, to tell you what's happening there.
We have a wonderful buyback program for all pre-owned vehicles. Your car is never worth more than it is right now. We are paying over book value for cars. As you know, that there is a serious shortage of vehicles. I'm sure that everyone has seen it on the television, on the news, on the internet. It is a big deal going on right now, but we're still getting along and I'm buying everything I can get my hands on. So please come down and see me or email me at bestinclass@billcurry.com. I can do business right over the email. You don't even have to come into the dealership, as well as ordering a car. I'm ordering cars without deposits right now, so we can get you into your new F-150, your new F-150 Lightning, your Bronco, your Mach-E, whatever thing you want, electric, you want combustible, you want diesel, we got it all. It's fine. And I can work on all of it, and I have parts for all of it. So, and I am very proud that our body shop, we're making some really great waves in our body shop. So if you have that small little ding on your bumper, even if it's not affecting the paint, if it's just a ding, I take care of the paintless dent. I can also take out your bumper scratches, any scratches around your door handles, all those things that have been bothering you about the car that you're making car payments on, I can have taken care of for you very easily. Just send me a picture to bestinclass@billcurry.com, and I will send you back a quick estimate. So again, all great stuff. Visit us at billcurryford.com.
Thank you, Sean. That's billcurryford.com.
Even the suggestion that you could go from Tom Brady to Blaine Gabbert, Steve, it's like an alternate universe.
Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer. Big Storm Beer, bigstormbrewery.com. Big Storm is in Publix, at fine establishments everywhere, dine-in, take-out, package stores. Find out where you can buy Big Storm Beer at bigstormbrewery.com. Punch in your zip code in the Storm Tracker, and they will direct you to the great places that sell Big Storm Beer. Of course, there are the Big Storm Tap Rooms where you can eat and drink and get all the varieties, the many, many varieties of Big Storm Beer, and they're all the great things they do. There's spirits, etc. Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. That's the flagship location. Live music, outdoors, indoors, beautiful facility. Also in Odessa, off State Road 54, Cape Coral, and in Orlando at the Amway Center, accessible 7 days a week. Big Storm Brewery. Follow them on Facebook, other social media. We love Big Storm Beer.
He's 13 and freaking 35.
Buccaneers fans, couple of weeks and a whisper from free agency. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCapper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. But the star of the show is the mighty sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Uncle Ira, the king of Pasco County, the custodian of Canton. Sage, how are you? We're fired up. There's so much action going on. I think, Ira, when I look around the league, and I look at all the teams looking to get rid of quarterbacks and saying they want to make a move on a quarterback, those teams that actually need a quarterback, and everything that's going on, I think this is the most intriguing offseason for the NFL, let alone the Bucs, than I could ever remember.
You know, you got a point, Steve, and I'll tell you why. Lee, remember 2 years ago, the door number two, and, you know, Brady's name was getting thrown around, and you had Philip Rivers, you know, where's Rivers going to end up? And a little bit of Teddy Bridgewater. But, Lee, that pales in comparison when you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. You drop down, and there's Wentz and Garoppolo. We don't know what's going on with Matt Ryan. You know, I'm sure the Falcons would entertain an offer for him, although he's making all kinds of money, Lee. I can't imagine anybody picking up that tab. But Steve's got a point. I thought it was a quarterback carousel in off-season 2020. This is a lot more intriguing, and I'm a little bit jealously because you boys are going up to Indy. I'm not going to miss the weather because it'll be 82 here. But, Lee, you know how to go through all the corridors from your hotel. You don't even have to go outside, you know, to get where you're doing your business. But, Lee, I'm a little jealous because, Lee, I can just see you passing Pete Carroll in the corridor. Hey, Pete, how about sending Russell Wilson our way at One Buck Place? What's going on over there? I expect you guys to nail down some people, and I know for a fact that you will get some private time with Bruce Arians and Jason Light. I expect you boys to be very busy next week.
I remember one time the last combine I went to, which was 2 years ago, which is the last combine I remember, right, that media was there, ran into Kevin Colbert on the sidewalk. So, real quick, the Hoosier Dome, which is the convention center now, I'm not making this up. I timed it one time. I can get from my hotel room to the interview room, which is where all the podiums are set up, where all the players and coaches and general managers speak, quicker than I can get from my hotel room to the media work center. Wow. That's how big that freaking place is.
Steve, can I expect you boys to frequent St. Elmo's Steakhouse at some point?
Well, Ira, I've heard that Tom Moore likes to have a Manhattan at the upstairs bar there, so I look forward to dressing in a rubber nose and finding all these guys. It should be fun stuff, Sage. We'll do.
That's where I first met Arians.
That's right.
We'll make you proud, Ira. We'll make you proud. We may even get you on the phone. All right. Look, Sage, it is crazy, absolutely crazy, and you know we've talked about this, how with all these teams hunting quarterbacks, even Washington even sort of publicly went into the mix. Ron Rivera coming right out there. And the problem is that ultimately, and we talked about this last podcast, but it's important. Ultimately, these teams with better draft picks in 2022, they just have a leg up. There's nothing you can do about it. No matter what Jason Light wants to do, he can't manufacture the 12th pick in the draft when he's got the 27th. So they're building from a tougher spot, Ira. And of course, we've heard now it's been advanced, the notion of Blaine Gabbert being the quarterback. And now you were down on Blaine Gabbert, Ira, as a backup. So let's get that straight. When they signed Blaine Gabbert when it was Blaine Gabbert being tagged to backup Tom Brady, you were like, this is insane. Blaine Gabbert, he's not good enough if this team, you know, has a problem. So now chatter that Arians would be okay with him being the starter. When that came out, Ira, I don't have a problem saying that was not news to you because of what you know from your back channels. However, the notion that he would be the starting quarterback and that would be okay, it's not something that Lee and I can sign off on in any way, shape, or form. It cannot be stomached, and I will not tolerate anybody saying that it's even remotely decent. And I was very proud hearing Keyshawn Johnson yesterday, Ira, on ESPN Radio, calling Bruce Arians, saying it lies, nothing but lies. Come on, this is ridiculous. And there, others have said that as well from friends he has in the industry, like Rich Gannon, who he worked with at CBS, and Rich Eisen, who he goes on his show sometimes. So, Ira, where do you stand on the state of the Gabbert?
First, I say bravo to Keyshawn Johnson. And, Lee, I don't always agree with Johnson, but I do here. Of course, Lee, I'll always be indebted to Key. Just a quick reminder that when I called him a couple of weeks before I was making the Warren Sapp presentation 2013 in New Orleans, and I asked him, Key, I'm going to talk up Sapp in a couple of weeks. Does he belong in Canton? And there was a hesitation, and then Keyshawn Johnson, who was in California at the time when I called him, said the immortal words, Lee, immortal. They'll live forever in Canton. Yeah, Sapp belongs. He's an asshole, but he belongs. I mean, you can't ask for better than that. I hung up the phone. I was in the Trib office. Joey Johnston and Martin Fennelly were standing there. They said, what'd Johnson say? I said, gentlemen, he just gave me my opening line of my presentation. He's an asshole, but he belongs. And when I said that in that room with 45 other selectors, David Baker, the president, stopped me right there and said, Ira, nobody's ever used that word in this room. And I said, they have now, David. They have now. And I didn't even have to call Sapp an asshole. I got Keyshawn to do it. Ira, anyway.
Ira, is it true? Is it true that when you said that, Peter King thought you were talking about him and he punched you in the face?
No, but he grabbed the microphone. I said, I'm not finished with my presentation, King. You got to wait. But anyway, back to Blaine Gabbert. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Every time you brought Gabbert's name up, I almost dropped the phone. If I was driving, I almost drove off the road. And in the words of Steve, I didn't even like him as a backup. If Gabbert ends up getting the job, you know, and everything else fails, all the other options, what the hell does that say about Kyle Trask? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I might as well go with Kyle Trask at that point. Let me see what we got. Maybe the kid will surprise us. I know what we got in Gabbert. Lee, for whatever reason, there is an affinity for Blaine Gabbert from Bruce Arians. I mean, it's well documented. He keeps bringing the guy back. Nobody else wants him, Lee. Nobody wants him. But he keeps coming back. And the strange thing, Lee, Steve, tell me if I'm wrong here. I don't think I am. He really didn't play too many games for Arians in Arizona. I mean, I think it might have been 3 or 4 games total. Steve, am I wrong? It's not like he played a couple of seasons under Arians. And Lee, I'll say it again. I don't know how many times I got to say this. He's 13 and freaking 35. I know sometimes he didn't play with great teams in Jacksonville. But Lee, 13 and 35 speaks for itself.
Well, you know, my theory on wins and quarterbacks, Archie Manning, if he played on a halfway decent team, would be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know how many Pro Bowls guy was in. He might have been in the Hall of Fame. He was that good. But my goodness, New Orleans is horrible. I actually saw Blaine Gabbert with the Jags play in front of my own eyes. I am scarred to this day. I wish, Ira, you could have heard, and you still could, if you go to the SiriusXM app, Rich Gannon, and the analogy I will use, you could appreciate it because you know exactly what I'm talking about. The Johnny Fontaine, Vito Corleone scene in The Godfather, where Johnny Fontaine has his hands in his head. I don't know what to do, Godfather. I don't know what to do.
You can act like a man. You can act like a man.
That was the bluff. You can act like a man and slaps him. That was Rich Gannon. He just kept saying, I don't know. He kept repeating it over and over, I don't know. And then Bruce Murray asked him, are you buying what Arians said about Gabbert? And then Rich Gannon yelled, I ain't buying. But it was so hilarious. I wish you could hear the audio. I mean, Gannon was struggling not to rip him to shreds. He was. Bruce Arians and Light, in my eyes, earned a spitload of street cred the past couple of years. If Bruce Arians really believes he can turn Gabbert around, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's earned the street cred. I love Steve's analogy. This is sort of like, not nearly as bad, but sort of like Lovey selling the community on Josh McCown. 14 losses later, they're drafting a quarterback.
A couple of things strike me, Steve. You know, just it's surreal, the idea, Steve, even the suggestion that you could go from Tom Brady to Blaine Gabbert. Steve, it's like an alternate universe. Steve, are we really talking about this, Steve? And here's another one. Now, you can slap me around, Steve, and you don't need any help in doing so. But darn it. Isn't this the type of thing, and I know ultimately it's supposed to be a head coach's call, Steve, if it happens, and I still don't think it's going to happen. But, Steve, a couple of months from now, heading into the draft, if they came up empty with the veterans and trades and free agency in terms of a quarterback, and it looks like it's going to be Blaine Gabbert, are the Glazers going to live with it? Are the Glazers going to remain silent, even though this is their head coach who coached him to a Vince Lombardi trophy, and I understand all that. Steve, this is the quarterback. This is the face of your franchise. You've had 2 years of intoxication, 5 primetime games each year, record turnstiles, can't get a ticket. If you're the owner, Blaine Gabbert, you're okay with it, Steve? Am I wrong?
Ira, there's nothing okay about it. Nothing. I Arians and Light, like Lee said, deserve a ton of credit. Credit's not even the right word. They deserve the benefit of the doubt. But Blaine Gabbert, that crosses the line. I'm sorry. There's a line there. You cannot cross the line. That crosses the line to good sense and decency. It's not okay. Arian said Gabbert didn't have good teams around him when he's played. Okay. Well, the last team that he started for made a few starts as a backup. Was that the Titans? They finished 9-7. What's wrong with that? And his offensive coordinator there, Matt LaFleur, that same year he went off to coach Green Bay as head coach. Did he bring Gabbert with him as the backup for next to no money? No. Gabbert sat in free agency. Nobody wanted him, not even all his old offensive coordinators. And then Arians scooped him up to bring him to the Bucks on a minimum deal. You know who backed up Aaron Rodgers in 2019, Ira? It's an undrafted free agent, and Gabbert wasn't brought there. So, I mean, he doesn't have the, you know, Ira, it's just not okay. It's just not okay to sell Blaine Gabbert on the heels of Tom Brady. It's just upsetting because you and I, and all, every Bucks fan knows that the best quarterback in the division is the team that has the best chance of winning the division. And while the Bucks have a strong roster, you bring in Blaine Gabbert as your quarterback. When this whole thing shakes out in the NFC South, you could wake up one morning and realize, wow, we have the worst quarterback in the division.
It's very interesting because, Lee, you mentioned there's competition from these teams. And Steve mentioned, Lee, you know, the Bucks have the 27th pick. That's not a very good capital, Lee, in terms of making a trade. Lee, and you're with me on this, Lee. I'm looking at Charlotte. I'm looking at the city of Charlotte. I'm looking at this Tepper guy. He already wanted Watson last October. They couldn't work out a deal. Maybe Houston wanted too much at that time. But he's not going to stop. And he's not bringing back Sam Darnold. Darnold is not good enough for David Tepper. and the Carolina populace, you know, he wants a new stadium. Carolina's going to be a player here. And they might outplay them. They might outflank the Bucks here. They might.
Maybe. I was under the impression that Deshaun Watson nixed the trade to Carolina.
That's possible. It's possible.
So if that's the case, then, and we do know reliable reports that he added the Vikings and the Bucks, Watson did, to his wish list. So, you know, I don't know. Now, here's one real quick, Ira, about Deshaun Watson. Then I got to ask Steve a Gabbert question. But Deshaun Watson, Chris Mortensen threw out a very, very juicy Twitter the other night. And I know he's got in with Deshaun Watson's camp. He's been reporting some very, very interesting stuff. He threw this out there the other night, and it's juicy like a steak. What if Arians thinks Gabbert is good enough to keep the Bucs head above water until Deshaun Watson surfaces from his criminal allegation?
Lee, I'd be a lot more comfortable with Blaine Gabbert playing 3 or 4 games with a good roster and maybe winning one or two, than I am, you know, having him for a full season, because I think that's a recipe for 7 and 10. Lee, interesting. I share your confidence in Mortensen's reporting. He doesn't tweet a lot, Lee. He's like Jay Glazer.
No.
You're not going to get the volume for, like, you know, Rappaport and Schefter. But Lee, he's usually right.
Here's my question for Steve about Gabbert. And I thought you were going to go there. You wrote the story the other day about Rich Eisen talking about Gabbert and basically saying he's not buying what he's
right.
What I thought, Steve, you were going to use, you know, they were talking about Gabbert, and why would Bruce Arians even say that out loud, that Gabbert could be the successor to Tom Brady? Eisen thought the reason why he kept talking up Gabbert, and this is Eisen's words, not mine, Arians can't talk about anybody else. He probably got taken to the principal's office for answering Steve's question with Tom Brady's name at the Combine 2 years ago. So the only guy he could talk about would be Gabbert.
But Lee, he could talk up Trask. I mean, he could.
Yeah, well, the suggestion is the reason why Arians talked about Gabbert and not Russell Wilson, not Deshaun Watson, not right. Carson Wentz is because he can't.
They're under contract.
Yeah, the reason I didn't go there, I just didn't buy it, because Arians could easily say, there's a few names we're eyeing in the trade market. We'll see how it shakes out. You know, he could have gone there. Could have, you know, said, phrased that any way he wanted without mentioning anybody's name. Could have said, hey, there's some big names coming in the market, and you know, Jason's doing a great job feeling that out. We're doing our research. You know, he just didn't go there. So I didn't want to go there if he didn't go there.
If the dust settles and they settle, so to speak, on somebody like Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, he's not Blaine Gabbert, Steve, but he's not Russell Wilson. He's sort of a compromise choice, Steve. I think they'd probably still be favored to win the division, Steve, with Bridgewater. Are you okay with that? Or you want to aim higher?
Well, of course I want to aim higher, but I'm totally okay with it. I mean, if you really watch Bridgewater, he didn't play poorly last year at all. That's just the reality. He was 7-7. He was driving for a victory against the Bengals when he got knocked out with a concussion. He doesn't turn the ball over. I mean, compared to Blaine Gabbert, he might as well be, I don't know, Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I add what I think of those two choices?
Yeah.
You come to me and you say, who's the Bucs starting quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater or Blaine Gabbert? That's like asking someone, what would you rather have, a warm beer or non-alcoholic beer?
That's pretty strong, Lee. I tend towards Steve. I could live with Bridgewater if I have to. Lee, I could. You know, he doesn't throw a lot of picks. He can
doesn't
move
throw a
little
lot of touchdowns either.
Yeah. You know, he's got a winning record in the NFL. They can do better, Lee, but they could do worse, too. They could.
Mike Tanner, Football Outsiders, wrote this. 32 teams and their delusional thoughts this week. The delusional thought for the Bucs is they can make a Super Bowl run with Mitch Trubisky. Oh, no. The delusional was the Bucs couldn't win a Super Bowl without Tom Brady. And he said the Bucs could probably win a division with Mitch Trubisky, but it'd be a 9-8 record. You'd be bounced right away in the first round, and then you're back to square one. So his suggestion, or inference, I guess you could say, just put Trask in there and start a rebuild now. Don't try to talk yourself into nonsense. Don't try to con your fans. Do it the right way.
I don't buy it. Not with the players on the roster that are hitting their prime or in their prime, like a Mike Evans. The offensive line's pretty darn good, Steve, especially if they keep Jensen. They got some cornerstones on defense. I think they'll get Godwin back, you know, even if it's October. I think he'll be back on the roster. I don't think the Glazers will sign off on a rebuild, Steve. I don't think Light's looking at it like that, because that that affects Light's you know, future employment with the Bucs. If they go 4-13, how's that going to look on Light's resume? Certainly, Arians can't stomach that. I'm not buying it, Lee. I mean, there's time for a rebuild. 2009 was a rebuild. And, they, you know, they did the veteran purge. If they start dumping Lavonte David, then we'll know what's going on. But I don't see that, Steve. I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it either. But it is realistic that they may be stuck without a quarterback trade. Then you have to make a decision. Hopefully that decision is not Blaine Gabbert. I can't stomach it, Ira. I just can't do it. There's no way I can do it. Bridgewater, I mean, at least he's made a Pro Bowl. Sean Payton trusted him. He was, you know, perfect as a starter for the Saints. He played well last year. I mean, at least he's done something. Gabbert is just a big nothing. And I don't buy this whole learn the offense. I understand that that's real.
I'm tired of that. I'm over that, Steve.
I'm tired of that. If Bridgewater was really Arian's second choice last year, like he said after the fact, well, did Arians think last year that, or sorry, in 2020, did he really think he was going to sign Bridgewater and need a year to get used to the offense? It's annoying when they go there. But Ira, it brings us to a couple of things. First, Lee brought up warm beer, and warm beer is never a thing at Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Palm Bender, the Gulf Coast IPA, it's a fantastic India Pale Ale. You got the Wavemaker Amber Ale, the original. Take a sip of your Big Storm beer over there, your Tangerine IPA, the Bromosa. I've got a question for you. Sage, when you come back from the beach with your wife and you get home and you find mold and you have a flood or you've got storm damage or both, what do you do right away?
Your first call has to be to Florida's Elite Restoration. Call them immediately. Don't waste any time.
Exactly, Ira. You don't mess around. You go to floridaselite restoration.com. You give them a call. And Sage, business owners, property managers, air conditioning companies, plumbers, anybody who services clients that have disaster situations, they've got to call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately as well. Reach out to owner Josh Martin. You can find him through the website and find out how Josh and Florida's Elite Restoration can take their vast experience and put it to work for you. And they're an honest company that deals with customers of all kinds in a straightforward and trusting manner, which is rare in the restoration business. Florida's Elite Restoration. Josh has 14 years experience as an insurance adjuster. So he knows the other side. He knows how to make sure you and your clients don't get ripped off and how to give great service so everybody's happy. Florida's Elite Restoration. Reach out to Josh today. Floridaselite Restoration.com.
Florida's Elite Restoration. That's the way to go. Florida's Elite Restoration. That's an impressive company, Lee. They got strong direction and strong leadership.
And let's put it this way. They're not signing Blaine Gabbert. That's not happening. It's not happening. And Ira, we know you used to live in the beautiful beautiful scenic place that is Weehawken, New Jersey. Now you can get a big storm up there, Ira. So what do you, they are expanding.
Are you serious? They're in Weehawken, New Jersey.
They're in New Jersey, right in that area. Yep.
That's right outside the Lincoln Tunnel, gentlemen. They go another 4 miles. They're in the big city. They're in Manhattan, baby.
And if you inhale 5 or 6 times there, you pass out.
What else you got, Stevie? What else?
Here we go, Ira. I need your reaction to this. It looks like I'm going to have to get a passport.
Uh-oh. What happened? Bucks are playing
your Buccaneers will be playing in Deutschland this fall.
Steve, call me in 5 minutes.
Okay.
Reaction.
Okay.
I gotta pay my guy.
We'll wait for you. Well, I'll stay on hold. All right, Ira, your reaction to the Bucks playing a home game in Germany. Go ahead.
Instead of going to Wembley, this time it's Germany. I'll tell you what, it'll be beautiful to see Blaine Gabbert lead the Bucks out of the tunnel in Germany. It'll be fantastic, as 57,000 Germans say, "Who's that?" And they look at each other. Look, the Bucks, for whatever reason, have always been a very popular franchise to follow among Europeans. Nobody quite understands why. Even when the Bucks were bad. Hold on.
The guy's like, "Hey, you forgot a zero on my check."
All right. Bucks have always been very popular overseas, even when they were lousy in the 80s, when they had those 14 straight losing seasons. They had a big following with the Britishers, and I remember a couple of times they came overseas and came over to One Buck Place, talked to the media, and I went up to one of the writers. I said, what is it about the Bucks and the Brits? And he looked at me and he goes, "We love the underdog, Ira. We love the underdog." That kind of said it all back then. Well, now they're not the underdogs. Look, I don't like losing a home game in Tampa, because finally we have chronicled that Bruce Arians has created a home field advantage. We've been waiting a long time for that. But the fact is, it's good for business, Lee. It's good for NFL business. Good for Buck business. I'm not shocked, Lee, because I think this thing's been rumored for a while. It is what it is, but they lose a home game.
They lose a home game, but they still have 8 home games. That's the bright side. Now, I remember once upon a time, the NFL was seriously considering that extra game, the 17th game. The goal was that 17th game, that every team would play an international game once a year. So that would be your 17th game.
Well, the one downside, Ira, is that means an early bye week, because obviously they'll get a bye week after they play in Germany, and they're not going to go play in Germany in the winter. So it's probably going to be an October game and a little bit earlier bye week, which I'm not the biggest fan of, but that's the way it is. We talked about the running backs in the last podcast, but with the combine coming up and just the reality of what the Bucs quarterback situation might be, do you think this team takes its shot here and goes out at the end of the first round and drafts a running back and hopes to hit a home run? Because a home run running back as a rookie is the guy who can potentially change a whole team and change a whole offense. Not that the Bucs offense needs retooling, but without Tom Brady, they could use an extreme shot in the arm and a lot more diversity. And do you think they go that route and give it a shot? Maybe let Fournette walk. They can't afford everybody, and try to put a stud electric rookie behind this powerful offensive line.
Interesting theory, Steve. I like Keyshawn with Gabbert. I'm not buying it. Lee, I'm not buying it. Two things. One, if you're going to draft a running back at the end of the first round, that tells me all I need to know about your faith in Keyshawn Vaughn. And if you really don't have any faith in Keyshawn Vaughn, I'll re-sign Leonard Fournette if he wants to come back. Not knowing who the heck the quarterback is, Lee, I don't even know if you can get him back. But I'll make a strong offer to Fournette if I'm not comfortable at running back. Lee, I'll say it again. I think it's Vaughn's time. You get a veteran behind him, veteran free agent. Doesn't cost you too much, just in case, to build a little depth. I think Ronald Jones is gone, Lee. I think the Bucks let him go. Fournette may price himself out of Tampa. I agree with that. I think they got other needs, like the defensive line. They got to get younger there. They got Tryon. They got Vea. But they don't have any youth out there, Lee. Not really. Golston, Sue, JPP, they could all be gone. Lee, all three of them could be gone. I mean, it's a possibility. So defensive line depth is a problem. Maybe Roaches can do the job. Maybe he can't. I'm not going with running back in the first round, Lee. I'm not doing it.
I wouldn't be surprised if they draft a tackle in the first round. I'm more inclined to believe they'll do it in the third round. I heard Daniel Jeremiah saying there's so much depth in the third round for defensive tackles. For example, remember last year, you know, Light was specifically asked about defensive tackle, and he said that he didn't like the defensive tackle class. That was last year. This year, it's a deep defensive tackle class. So I'd be a little surprised if Light's not targeting that. The defensive end case, you know, outside linebacker is interesting to me. You know, I like Joe Tryon, but I don't know if he could be a dependable starter, a week in, week out kind of guy yet. I don't know if he's shown me enough yet. Now, he can rush the passer, but we all know Bowles, stop the run first, stop the run first. And he was not good at stopping the run. He just was not good. JPP, I've got a 10% hope they can get him on a cheap contract to come back.
And Steve, depending on what happens with Carlton Davis, and he could, you know, I think he's a strong candidate for the franchise tag, which won't be cheap. But Steve, if they don't bring Davis back, I think cornerback might be the number one priority heading into the draft.
Sage, is there any chance that you sign Carlton Davis to a market value long-term deal, which is going to run you probably $15, $16 million? I wouldn't do it. I can't do it. I don't know. Can you do that?
I think there's a chance. You know, I would lean on Kevin Ross and see what his advice is. But I'm with you guys. I'm a little hesitant to do that.
Lee, can you do that? Can you pay Carlton Davis top 10 cornerback money when you're trying to sign other guys? Can you do it? I can't do it.
Actually, flipping the coin is the better question. Can you make a Super Bowl run or win a Super Bowl without Carlton Davis?
Yeah.
Been the best cornerback on a Super Bowl winning team. Generally, those guys don't get loose, especially if they're young. Yeah, I know he's hurt. He gets dinged up more than I like. He's a tough one. I was thinking about this last night. He's a tough one to decide on. He's a tweener. What I mean by that is he's just good enough that you want him, and he's just not good enough to get high-end money. You know, if they get him to a long-term contract and backload it, that would make it easier. I don't know if he'd agree to that. Unless you have someone in mind to pick up as a free agent. I know Steve floated Marcus Peters, who's a supreme head case. Good cornerback, but a supreme head case. I mean, when two good teams get rid of you and you're a cornerback, that should tell you something.
He's missed like 14 games in his four-year career, Davis. I'm just looking at his numbers here. Never played a full season, and he missed seven games last year. Steve, he's only 25. I'll say this. If you let him hit the marketplace, somebody's going to throw a lot of money at him, Steve. Somebody. But I'm with you. I'm not sold totally on him. I still think he's a candidate for the franchise tag.
That's a lot of money. Ira ties you up. I mean, they can't get too tied up this year. Whatever they do, they have to try to kick cans down the road so they can, you know, and that means, hey, if you do re-sign Godwin, okay, it's a three-year deal without much this year. Okay, you got to find a way to pay Shaq $1 million this year and kick the money down the road. All these guys, I mean, I don't know. The Davis thing, Lee makes a good point about can you win a Super Bowl without him? But then it goes back to the whole big X factor that we started off talking about. Who's the quarterback? Can you win a Super Bowl with Blaine Gabbert? If Blaine Gabbert's your quarterback, why do I need a $16 million corner if he's my quarterback? Yeah. You know, so
Gabbert's going to be your quarterback, you better bring Davis back because you're going to need all the help you can get.
Lee, one thing we don't talk too much about, boy, they really need another receiver.
They're out there. You can get one.
Yeah, you can get one. Uncertainty about Godwin. Uncertainty about whether you can bring him back and when he would be ready if you do bring him back. No questions about Evans. No questions. We don't know what's going on with Gronkowski. Scotty Miller, and by the way, I watched the other day another replay of the end of the Rams playoff game, that disgusting loss. And I guess I didn't realize it at the time. Collinsworth must have referenced little Scotty Miller about 11 times in the last 7 minutes of that game. I thought he was talking about Cliff Branch over there, Lee. I mean, what the hell's going on with Collinsworth? He's the deep threat. You better rotate the coverage over to Scotty Miller. Lee, the fact is that Miller, when he did play last year, did not take a step up. Neither did Tyler Johnson. You're certainly not counting on Cyril Grayson. Lee, they got some problems now with not enough targets, with Brown gone, Godwin hurt, Gronkowski up in the air. Lee, that's a whole nother can of worms.
I really didn't think of this until just now. If you can't get Godwin back and you still don't know who your quarterback is, I'm very tempted to go rebuild. There's no doubt that Tyler Johnson regressed last year, and he's not in any position to take over for Godwin. He can block, and that's about it. Well, you know my position about blocking. If your receiver's best attribute is blocking, you got a problem.
Yes.
You got a problem. Now, fans are up questioning what happened with Scotty Miller last year. Why wasn't he playing? And he didn't play much. He did really good on special teams. No question about that. But they didn't draft him to play special teams. He looked like he was on the cusp of maybe being a major factor after the playoffs in 2020. Right. And last year, he pretty much vanished. I know he got hurt. He was hurt for, what, a month, month and a half. But when he came back, he rarely saw the field outside of a power sweep, a bend around, or special teams.
Absolutely. And Steve, let me ask you, in terms of Godwin, Steve, doesn't Godwin have all the leverage here? Do the Bucs have any leverage in terms of not bringing back Godwin?
Well, I think Godwin has all the leverage, because if you have more than one team interested, then you have the leverage. That's just how it works, unless the Bucs want to franchise him, which I hope they do rather than risk losing him, but you just don't know.
You got to pay a penalty, Steve. You got to pay a penalty.
Yeah. Just the way it is, though, he would get a little under $20 million, which is sort of market value, whereas if you franchise Ryan Jensen, you're paying $16.5 million, which is way over the value. And they have those decisions to make. But I'll say this, Ira, I disagree with you on the sense that if they bring back Mike Evans and they bring back Chris Godwin, and let's say he's available week 6 full go. If he comes back and you've got Scotty Miller, and let's say you bring back, of course you're going to bring back Tyler Johnson. He didn't progress. I don't know if he regressed. If you view him only as a number 4 receiver, I think he was just fine in that role. And, they loved Jalen Darden. And let's say you bring back Perriman. And you bring back Perriman, let's say, on the cheap. So those are your 6 receivers. I think that's better than most teams, Ira. I really do. I think
they're short at tight end, too, Steve. They're short.
Well, we have to see what they're going to do at tight end. But if you just look at receiver, if you have Evans and Godwin up top with Scotty Miller, who's at least proven it, and you've got Perriman and Johnson and Darden competing, that's just better than a lot of teams. So I have to look at it that way. I think that's still top 10 with those guys.
Steve, I see your point, Steve, but there's an assumption that Godwin will be 100% when he comes back. We don't know that, Steve. We're not sure of it.
No, we definitely don't know. And going back to what Lee said about the Marcus Peters, the cornerbacks over the years, they've proven to be plenty of good players who are in that sort of diva-like or ish guys who have some are tough to deal with corners who've been on great teams before. I mean, even look at Josh Norman this year. He bounced around and he ended up this year on the Niners as a starter on the cusp of the Super Bowl, and he had a good year. Tlaib bounced around. Darrell Revis bounced around. I'm not worried about Peters' mindset. I mean, the Bucs can handle him for a couple of years if that's what it took. Patrick Peterson might be out there. I don't know, Ira. I think they can go cheaper at corner and maybe draft a guy.
Well, you know my philosophy. You can have a very average secondary. And by the way, we don't even know if Whitehead's coming back, Lee. That's another factor. But, Lee, you can have an average secondary, and if you got a really strong pass rush, you'll have a good pass defense. So Lee and I always talk about it. You got to start it up front. When the Bucs pressure the quarterback, Lee, and get them off the spot consistently, a la Mahomes in the Super Bowl, they do just fine in the secondary. When they don't, like the first half of the Atlanta game a couple of years ago, Lee, remember when it was 17-0 Falcons and Matt Ryan was doing whatever he wanted? They never moved them off his spot, Lee, and he shredded them. So I'm sticking with that. Give me the pass rush any day, and I'll take an average second there.
All right, Sage. Look, we got to get your opinion immediately. I'm cutting this into the podcast. Ali Marpet with the surprise retirement on Sunday. Sage, all I can think is that the guy is happy to have made tens of millions of dollars. He won a Super Bowl. He played with Tom Brady. He made a Pro Bowl. He got through a tough concussion in 2020 that cost him a few games. And he wants to get out in one piece and is going early instead of late.
I'm with you, Steve. God bless him. It was a strange experience for me because a bunch of us went to a theater in Tampa to watch The Godfather 50th anniversary re-release. And it started at 2 o'clock. I got out of there at about 5:15, looked at my phone and realized that Ali Marpet got whacked. I mean, this is after seeing, bloodshed all over the screen from a Buck perspective. He's going to be sorely missed, Steve. I always enjoyed talking to him. He's a deep thinker, Marpet. And I like to, I tilt towards the offensive linemen anyway, because I think they really have the pulse of the team. And I used to go to Marpet's locker all the time. He spotted me coming from a mile away. He would make believe he turned his back on me. But once I got him going, the guy was outstanding, analytical, incisive. Look, I salute him for doing a heck of a job. He got better with each year. And Steve, you and I remember fondly, if that's the word, the crazy notion of turning Marpet into a center, another Buck folly idea. Thank God didn't last long. He belonged at guard. That's where he is. My hat's off to him. He left a lot of money on the table, Steve. Now, Steve, here's one more thing that ran through my mind in the big picture of things from the organizational standpoint, Steve. I wrote a column this week that, if they can't land a credible quarterback, it might be time to take a step back, go young, retrench, if you will. This might be another twist of the dial in that direction. I mean, let's be honest. You're not going to replace him with anybody as good as Ali Marpet at left guard. You're not. Certainly anybody on the roster. And it could be another reason toward tilting towards going young, Steve, and seeing what the young guys get. And, if they go 8-9, so be it.
I don't know, Ira. It's hard to say. I think my first reaction was something similar, but he's only one guy. So, I mean, if losing him lets them keep somebody else, it's kind of a wash in the sense of the big picture look at the franchise as far as how they would view going forward. But it is a key cog, and he did leave a ton of money on the table, Ira. And I thought of you when he retired because you guys did have that special personal relationship in the locker room. He would see you coming and he'd give that face like, here he comes. And, but he would talk.
Hey, Steve, he's got a great family too. I mean, I used to see them tailgating when I would get out of the car to walk towards the stadium. And he always gave me a big greeting. And his father was a piece of work, Steve, great family.
You just had a thing with him as far as he would talk to you and, you'd put that recorder away, he'd give you a little bit, and just a tough loss, but a great signing by the Bucks. And we're going to talk more about this and the ramifications with Lee later in the week. And of course, we'll get some answers on Marpet and how the Bucks plan to proceed there. But it's a loss, Ira. It is a loss, a championship piece and a Pro Bowl guard. It's just tough.
And, Steve, one last thing from me on this latest piece of news. We won't know for a year or two if this is true, but this could be a trend, Steve. I mean, Marpet's not the first guy to turn down a lot of money, sort of in his prime. I'm not talking about somebody that's 36 and walk away citing health concerns down the line, CTE concerns. Steve, the way the technology is right now, unfortunately, you really don't realize the extent of potential brain damage and until it's too late. This could be a trend. You might see this happening more and more. In fact, I think you will.
I agree with you, Ira, but I guess as far as that trend is concerned, my bigger concern is that Marpet doing this has that trend kicks off on the Buccaneers. Maybe Donovan Smith banks his $15.2 million this year and says, you know what? My good friend Allie's doing great, and I don't need another year of this. And you know what? He had the right idea, packing it in a little early, and some things are more important than football. I would hate to see that become the trend start in Tampa.
You never know, Steve. Each guy makes his own decision. based on a multitude of factors. But certainly nobody could argue with Ali Marpet's decision. It's his to make alone, consultation with his family. And the best news of all, he's healthy right now. And let's hope to God he stays that way.
And let's hope Tom Brady casts him in his new movie, maybe a young love interest for Lily Tomlin, Ira.
Outstanding, Stevie.
So, Sage, look, fans are fired up. We got another podcast coming. And, of course, we thank Bill Curry Ford, General Manager Sean Sullivan, the GM. He's ready for you 24-7. You can just hit him an email. Find his email at BillCurryFord.com, as we heard Sean in the opening there. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, FloridasEliteRestoration.com. Anytime you have any sort of disaster in your home or your business. Did you catch The Godfather?
Sunday, baby. Sunday. And I got a bunch of trip people coming with me. Now we're going out to dinner. So we're making a day of it, Stevie. Wow. A little, you know, you got to stir. You throw in your sausages. Clemenza says he's showing Pacino. You got to throw in your sausages. You mix it up over here. So then we're going out for a little Italian food. I'll sign off with this, gentlemen. And you've heard this phrase. I think it's very apropos. We live in interesting times, gentlemen. Interesting times.